Now, I can imagine that if you opened your bulletin, or you came from this way or that way, you might look at the church sign, and you looked at the title of the sign, and, well, you had maybe of either of two responses. One response was, well, the blessings of recession. Perhaps this is going to be Pastor Ken's shortest sermon he's ever given, because really, what blessings could there be in this time of recession? Or maybe you looked at that title, The Blessings of Recession, and you thought, well, are we in a recession? And I don't know about you, but many of us don't know about the facts and the figures of our economy. But we do know, as we look around our lives, and we're right in the middle, if we are right in the middle of the big R, high gas prices. And I remember hearing that by July the 4th, it is going to be $4.50, maybe even $5 a gallon. Well, possibly in California, I think it's $4.50. And in southern part of Oregon, it may be that. But what else do we see and experience that shows us that we're in the middle of the big R? Unemployment is on the rise. Have you talked to some of the truck drivers lately who have to fill their tank more than $150? I don't know exactly what it costs to fill a tank of a truck, but many truck drivers are losing their jobs because of the high price of gasoline. Restaurants are not as busy. Golf courses are empty. Traveling in cars, well, if you're really sensitive and watch, you'll see that there's not as many cars out on the road, but I have noticed a lot more people riding their bicycles. Maybe that's good, huh? Real estate values have diminished. And it is something, as we have been here for 5.5 years, we have been like a boom town, both Sutherland and Roseburg, lots of building, but it's more like a ghost town today when it comes to being a real estate agent or a painter or a builder. It's not a very easy job these days. And then, of course, the stock market is inconsistent. But add to that one that I really think that every one of us can relate to, and that is the high prices of food. We're having to make the decision, some of us with a fixed income. What will it be? Will I pay for my food or gas? Important choices, difficult choices. Even as Christians, friends, we are not immune to this economic crisis that we are in. Now, I cannot deny these realities, but it is my purpose today, and my desire today, as I stand before you and I open the Word of God to you today, that I point you away from the world. We are so much a part of the world. We're so much in the world. We're hearing the voices of the world. I want to remind you that there's a God, and He's alive. And He's the God worthy of our trust and our worship. And I want to direct you to Him. And I want you to know that in this time of need and crisis, He is waiting for us to talk with Him and to find help and strength. And so today I want to show you how this time of recession can help us, actually force us, to evaluate our beliefs in God, to evaluate our values and even our priorities. So let's begin. We begin as you open up your notes and your bulletin there. Those of you that want to take some notes, you can follow along right there in your bulletin. Our beliefs in God. And as you're considering this subject, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to a wonderful promise, Philippians, the 4th chapter. Here we are living in this beautiful state of Oregon, perhaps one of the most beautiful states in the Great Union of the United States. And we're living in a time of economic crisis and difficulty. We're living in a time of war in Iraq, Afghanistan, all over the world. And we're being tested. And you may be asking, well, how is it that we're being tested? How is that possible? We're being tested about our faith and trust in God. Now, you've mouthed the words, I've mouthed the words, I've said, I believe God can provide. I believe that He is the source of my security. That's what the Bible teaches, doesn't it? It teaches so clearly that God is a source of our right standing with Him. God is the source of our strength and our wisdom. And yes, He is even the source of financial security. There is no recessions in God's economy. And again, we can mouth those words, we can say those words, a pastor can get up and preach them. But I ask you today, do you believe them? Do you believe that our ultimate source of security is not our boss, not our job, not our education, not our ability? Now, God can work through, and He often does. He works through our boss. He works through our education. He works through our ability. He works through our job. But ultimately, our total reliance, yours and mine, is and must be upon the One who alone can supply our needs. Are you acquainted with the promise that we want to claim right now? The One who can supply our needs. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 19. You have your Bibles open? Let's read it out loud together. I don't know what translation you have, but let's read it out loud together. Starting now. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now that's a promise worth writing down on a 3x5 card and putting it on your refrigerator, keeping it in your pocket or your purse, pulling it out often, personalizing it. If you're a Christian believer, we must take hold of this awesome promise. In fact, let's personalize it. Let's say it this way. But my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, as you're turning your Bible to another great promise, Romans the 8th chapter, and I'm sure you know where that is, Romans the 8th chapter, possibly some of you are thinking at this point, I know I've shared this promise that Pastor Ken just shared here, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, with those who are in need. I shared it with them over the phone and in person. I've shared that with them. But now I'm really being tested because I don't know if my needs are going to be met. Well, my needs are being met right now. I'm not too sure if, in the kind of situation I'm in, if God is going to provide for my needs. Gas to get to work, food enough to be on the table, sky-high credit card bills that I have, job security. And so, friends, our beliefs about our God are being tested, aren't they? To see if our theology matches with our practice. They're being tested. But along with Philippians, let's also claim Romans the 8th chapter, verse 28, okay? Write that on your refrigerator in indelible ink. Let's read it out loud. Romans the 8th chapter, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. But you may be sitting there today or listening to this tape in the future, and you may be thinking, well, I believe that sort of. I've always believed it for everybody else, and I've actually taught it in Sabbath school class, and I've talked with my friends about it, but the economic chaos that I'm in, I'm not too sure how this situation I'm in is going to work out for the good. Our beliefs are being tested, aren't they? A recession forces us to the Word of God, to the Bible. Not to the TV, not to that person that you call on, but to the person of Jesus Christ and His Word. It forces us to go to the Word of God to evaluate what we believe about God. And I would like to ask, just out of curiosity, how many here today, in the light of the times we're living in, can you relate to what we're preaching here? Can you relate to this? Are you being tested according to your beliefs about God? I'm going to raise my hand. How many here can relate to this? I would trust every one of you, in one way or another, can relate to this. Secondly, the recession that we are in is testing our value system. And I wonder what kind of values you and I have been living under for the last several years. Have you noticed? It's interesting. Man's values and God's values sometimes are worlds apart. Worlds apart. And I would like to ask you, as I share with you some things from the Word of God here today, have you been allowing the world to control you? Or have you and I been following the Word of God? Man says it's more blessed to receive than it is to give. So give me. I would like more and more. Please give me, man says. But on the other hand, those of you that are taking notes, you'll want to write down under this section of value system, Acts chapter 20, verse 35, because God himself said through Jesus Christ, it is more blessed to give than it is to what? To receive. What a contrast. What a contrast. What values have you and I been living under? Have we been following man's or God's? Man says life consists of how much we possess. And if you possess a lot, then you can be important. If you possess a lot, you can have a fuller life. You can have a more enjoyable life. You can be fulfilled if you have lots of possessions, if you have lots of money. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've been falling for that lie. But remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Write that number down or that text down in your notes. Luke 12, verse 15. Remember the words? A man's life consists not in the abundance of things he has, which he possesses. It doesn't consist of that. Do you agree that we can have a lot, but that does not mean that we are a fulfilled person just because we have a lot? That doesn't mean that we have found the meaning in life because we have lots of things. That doesn't mean that we're going to be a happier person than someone that doesn't have lots of things. Malachi chapter 3. Let's go there in our Bibles. Malachi chapter 3. What values are you and what values am I practicing in my life? Man's values say this. Can you relate? If you are having financial problems, cut back on your giving to God. Man's values says that. But according to Malachi, the third chapter, verses 8 through 10, if you and I are having financial problems, we need to make sure that we are not robbing God. That's what it says in Malachi. Well, let's read it for ourselves. Malachi, the third chapter, and verses 8 through 10. Follow as I read. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, notice this beautiful promise. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me, test me. Now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. God's word today. I want to ask you a personal question. This is between you and God. Are you having troubles making ends meet? Are you experiencing health problems? Do you have some unique challenges in your life? Then your troubles may very possibly may be related to this question. Have you been faithful to God in your tithes and your offerings? Now man says, the world says, keep your money. You earned it in the first place. You keep it. But here's one to add in your text under this area, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, because the Bible says it is God who has given you power to make wealth. Who is it that we're really going to give credit? I'm the one that earned the money. It's my money. Or are we going to give God the credit? Man says, if I can just have money and possessions, that's where it's at. That's where it is. Do you believe that? Do you believe that is the most important things? Really, is there anything greater than money? Is there anything more important than having possessions? And we're not against money here. God isn't against money. God is not against possessions. He just wants us to get a balance in our lives. He wants us to have perspective in our lives. He wants the Word of God to be our guide. Now, certainly the Bible teaches us, and I want to share with you some things that are maybe more important than money. No, not maybe. Yes, indeed, more important than money. Wisdom. Wisdom is more important than money. Wisdom to manage the money that we already have. We say, and I know I've said it, you said it, my, if I only had more money, I would, dear God, I really need more money. But God might say to us something like this. Do you really need more money? Or is it you need more wisdom to manage the money you already possess? How can I trust you with the money that you're having difficulty with managing even the $10 that I gave you? Here's number two. It's also important to have faith in God more than money. You agree? Faith in God, a relationship with God, that's more important than all the money in the world, isn't it? Those of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know how vitally important it is and what faith in God does. It is more valuable, it is more precious than gold and silver. Oh, here's number three. Furthermore, love in the family, love for one another, is that more important than money and possessions? Friends, I have been in the hospital many times. I've stood in the bedside of those in the intensive care unit. And those loved ones begin to realize how precious that loved one is and that they would give anything for that loved one. And they begin to see how insignificant is their money and their things. They love and they value that person. And how many times you and I have heard the heart call of individuals, maybe after an earthquake or a hurricane or some fire that's happened, and many homes have been destroyed, and they interview the people, and the people say, we at least have one another. We at least have one another. What is it going to take, my friends, to realize that our love for each other, our being together as a family, is much more important than possessions and things? Righteousness and holiness in our lives, our personal lives, is more important than money. That's number four, righteousness and holiness. Here's number five, integrity. Integrity, being honest, is more important than position and money. There are a lot of people who are willing to let go of their integrity, to tell a lie in order to have money, to tell a little bit of white lie in order to have position. But when they do that, they lose all. But friends, when we have integrity, we're able to manage what we have more effectively. Amen? Now the Bible tells us, number six, the Bible actually tells us that the knowledge of Scripture is far more important than silver or gold. To be able to know the Word of God, to know this God of the Word of God. And so my friend, you and I, today, we may be having financial difficulties, but at least we have wisdom to manage it. At least we have faith in God. At least we have a love within our own family. We have a life of integrity and a working knowledge of the Word of God. As I look to you, if that is where you are, friend, you are rich. Rich indeed. And so this recession has forced us to evaluate our values, and would you not agree that is a blessing? That is a blessing. But I would like to say, thirdly, our priorities need to be evaluated. Our priorities. In other words, what comes first? What comes second? What comes third? And so on. Do I have my priorities in order? Or are they all mismatched, mixed up? Man's priorities and God's priorities are quite different, aren't they? Man says, or maybe asks this question, well, what's in it for me? You ever heard that before? What's in it for me? What do I get out of this? But as Christians, we need to remember, we need to ask this question. If I receive this, if I take this, what is this going to say about my picture of God? What is this going to say about building up the kingdom of God and representing my God aright? I want to do all for the glory of God. Man's priorities are, well, how can I look good for my boss? And so he spends all of his hours for his boss to look good, and he's convinced that his boss is going to help him to get ahead. But the Bible says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 5 through 7, write that down in your notes to remember it, Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 7, whatever you do, do your work heartily as unto your boss. No. As unto the Lord, rather than for men. So, really, when you get down to it, friends, and you are working on your job, do it as to the Lord. Do it for the Lord and His glory, to represent Him, not just to impress your boss, as important as your boss is. You want to do it to please God. You want to do it to because you want to represent Him as a Christian believer. Man asks the question, well, how can I get rich? How can I get rich quickly? But the Word of God in Proverbs, the 28th chapter, verse 20, says it this way. Proverbs 28, verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Man says, I've got to spend all my waking hours to make it big. I've just got to make it big. And in doing that, what happens in the process? They might lose their family. They might lose their integrity. They might lose their health or their relationship with God. Is it worth it, friends? No, it's not. And that's why the Bible says, on the other hand, in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, verses 4 and 5, do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your own wisdom. That is our own wisdom, isn't it? Wilt thou set thine eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. What wisdom from Proverbs. Now, according to man's priorities, I've got to have it right now. Right now, even if I have to get in debt, I want that right now. And so they misuse the credit card. But the word of Proverbs, the word of God in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7, such wisdom, it says it this way, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. Oh, another translation put it this way, the borrower becomes the lender's slave. How many here today? Is there anyone here today who is a slave to the credit card company? Is there anyone here today that might just need to do some plastic surgery? As I close today, I want to share with you the priorities that I see as I've studied the Word of God that are most important, the sequence as it relates to the management of our money. And they're right there in your notes today, and you can take further notes if you want. And I would like to suggest that the first priority, number one, as it relates to the management of our money, by the way, the most sensitive part of the human body is the back pocket. And if we know how to handle the back pocket, God can really use us. And if we can start with number one priority is to be faithful, to systematically put God first in our tithes and our offerings. That's what the Word of God teaches as it relates to the management of our monies. It's interesting that the basic principle is found in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In other words, putting Him first. That's a principle throughout the Bible. And as it relates to giving, it's interesting in the Old Testament, where they didn't have coinage so much, what they did was they always required the first of the flock, the first of the harvest, the first of the children. That was the way that they were to show that God comes first in their lives, to give Him first, right on the top. Now, how do we do that today in the 21st century in a practical way? Here it goes. This is nothing new to you, but I want to reemphasize it. When you and I get our paycheck, right from the very top, before you pay that bill or that bill, you give it to God. You put God first. You give and set aside your tithes and your offerings and put it first. Put our God first. Turn back to me, with me, to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. You know, for years, whenever I thought about giving to the Lord, being faithful in giving to the Lord, I was taught and I was thinking that what that means is to give a faithful tithe. And so I was faithful in giving my tithe for many, many years. And then one day, maybe probably after the 1,000th time, someone read Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Everybody there? Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. Malachi had a way of saying it, didn't he? But you say, well, wherein have we robbed you? Now, listen to this. In tithes, and I heard that. And what? What else does it say there? Offerings. For some reason or other, I only heard tithes, and I didn't hear offerings. God has wanted me to be faithful in tithes and offerings. And I searched my heart and my life, and I said, well, I've been faithful in giving a faithful tithe, but, well, I guess it was dependent upon the elder. If they gave a good super appeal, maybe I'd give a little something, you know, for offerings. But that wasn't really a practice in my life. And yet I see here from the Word of God, He wants me not only to be faithful in giving a faithful tithe, but also systematically an offering. And believe it or not, there's a biblical principle for that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, it tells us that we are to increase our giving of our offerings as God prospers us. As God prospers us. That's how we're to give our offerings. But there have been people who have been taught that, and they were modeled by this, by their parents sometimes. They were to give a dollar. They noticed mom and dad putting a dollar in every Sabbath. And so 30 years later, they're given a dollar. And some of them said, no, not a dollar, $5 a week, $5 a week. 20 years later, still giving $5 a week. Do you want to acknowledge that God comes first in your life? Then be faithful in giving a faithful tithe and offerings. This should be the first priority in the management of our money. Our first priority. Second priority, as it relates to the management of our money, is to provide for your family's daily needs. Your family's daily needs. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Some of us are familiar with this passage. This verse, it says this, if a man does not provide for his own, what is he? He is worse than a what? Yeah, worse than an unbeliever. Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? The principle there, friends, is provide for your family's daily needs. Not your family's daily wants, but your family's daily needs. And husbands, this is especially your responsibility and my responsibility to provide for the needs of our family. That's the second priority. The third priority is to protect your family from possible financial emergencies. And for that principle in Scripture is Genesis chapter 41, where the principle there is taught for all believers, and that is when Joseph, he provided for all, for the upcoming emergency. He made plans. He made plans. And I see this as a precedence in Genesis 41. I see this as a precedence for you and me to provide for our family when the emergencies come up. How do we do that? We can do that through insurance. And no Christian should be without insurance. We should have car insurance. We should have health insurance. We should have some kind of a program so that in case of a catastrophe, we can provide for our family. Fourthly, provide not only for our family's future needs as it relates to a catastrophe, but for their future needs, their everyday needs. In Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 8, what a great description that talks about the ant. What wisdom an ant has. He plans for the future. Throughout the summer and the spring, you see those ants come marching in your house. They love your cake and your ice cream and everything else that's out there maybe sitting around. And they gather that food up and they store it up for the winter. And in some places in this country, you don't see too many ants walking on top of the snow because they're barreled down. They're ready for the winter. They store it up. And so the principle for us, friends, is this. We can, well, what an abundance we have in Oregon. We can and freeze fruit. Amen? We can also provide for the needs of our family, their future, by setting aside monies for their future. By the way, I'd like to say, for all of us who have children, and even before you have children, set aside for their Christian education. Set aside for their Christian education. In other words, put something in the savings account. Here's number five. Number five, provide the needs of others as the opportunity arises. Is there a scripture for that? Yes. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul, or I should say John, he is very clear about providing for others. He says this, whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him. How does the love of God abide in him? Wow, that's powerful. Little children, he's writing to you and me, let us not love with word only, or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, it's so easy to pay lip service for those who are hurting. Those who are hurting. In essence, what he's saying is this, friends, always have something set aside so that we can provide as the opportunity comes. To provide. And I thank God that as needs have come, many of you have responded to people's needs. But you're going to be privately encountering people who have special needs. Here's a way. Put that on your priority list. Number 5. Here's number 6. And last in the priority list. What is it according to the church bulletin? What does it say there? Provide for your personal desires if you can afford it. Now, isn't that interesting? This is number 6. This is the last one. And often, let's be honest, often it's the first priority in our lives. And for some Christians, their recreation, their personal wants are more important than putting God first in their tithes and their offerings, more important than providing a Christian education for their children. Oh, I'm sorry. I cannot send my child to a Christian school because I'm paying for the boat that we bought. I'm paying for that vacation that we took. That new car that we just bought. Provide for your personal desires if you can afford it. That's the 6th priority. The 6th priority. Now, the Word of God is clear that it's not wrong for us to have personal desires and to enjoy them. Notice what it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. It says this, God richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. So it's not a sin to enjoy things. It is not a sin to have things. But God is wanting us to have balance. He wants us to realize that that's the 6th priority. That is not the 1st priority. Too often, we spend all these things for ourselves, and then if we have anything left over, we provide for our family. And if we have any left over, then we'll try to help someone who's in need. And if we still have anything left over, then we'll write God a check, and we'll give him a tip. We'll give him the leftovers. And God says, as he considers the practices of our lives, oh, my sister, my brother, this is not the way that I planned your priorities of management of money. This is the wrong priority system. Friends, as we look at this recession that we are experiencing, let's recognize that we can have great blessings that can come out of it. And today I'm looking in the faces and the eyes of many of you who are having a tough time making ends meet. And you are in situations where you're beliefs about God are being tested, your values are being tested, and your priorities are being questioned. Okay, where are my priorities? I guess God hasn't always been first. Help me, Lord. Help me, God, to put them first. Put them in order. As we go through this time of recession, let us align our lives with God's word and his will. And then, my friends, we will experience God's blessings. Whose blessings do you and I really want? Man's blessings or God's? It is your choice. Turn in our hymnals to hymn number 619. I want to give you an opportunity to signify how you want God to help you to manage your money in this time of difficulty. As we sing this great hymn, Lead On, O King Eternal, I'm going to ask you to stand. I want you to stand from your heart because you're saying, in essence, Lord, I really believe I want you to provide for my future needs. Lord, I want to follow your values and not man's values and mine's. And Lord, I want to rearrange my priorities that they're in harmony with your will. Is that your desire? Then I invite you to stand with me now as we sing that great hymn, number 619. Lead on, O King Eternal.
Lead on, O King Eternal, the day of March has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, thy tents shall be our home. Through days of preparation, Thy grace has made us strong, and now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. Lead on, O King Eternal, if followed not with fears, for gladness breaks like morning where'er thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted o'er us, we journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O King of might.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've reminded us today of what you would have us do in these times of financial difficulty. It is true, Lord, we are experiencing high gas prices, and the food prices are very high, Lord, too. But we thank you, Lord, that there's no recession in your economy. Help us to hold on to your right hand of righteousness. Help us to trust in you and to rearrange our priorities if they're mismatched. Thank you for your patience. Thank you that you will bless us because we want to put you first. And we ask for your forgiveness, and we thank you for your reminder again. And we thank you, yes, that there are blessings in this time of recession. In Jesus' name, amen.